This is the Inside Slant Football Podcast, brought to you by Jayhawk Slant. We go behind the scenes to bring you the inside scoop from Les Miles and his staff, the KU players, and recruits. Here are your hosts of the Football Podcast, Randy Withers and John Kirby.
Hey everybody, this is Randy Withers, and we are back with another edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. John Kirby and I are going to briefly touch on that ugly game that we saw last Saturday against Kansas State, and then get into some real talk about where this program is and where it's headed under Les Miles. We'll hear from Bill Seals, who covers Iowa State for the Rivals Network. We'll break down the Iowa State game, give our predictions for the matchup with the Cyclones, and then talk to our recruiting guest, Jason Gilliam, who is the newest commitment to Les Miles and his staff. Now, before I bring in my partner, John Kirby, I've got to mention the best promo we have ever had for JayhawkSlant.com expires tonight on Thursday. Now, the way it works, you can get a subscription to the Slant for $12 for the entire first year. Now that's 12 bucks for the year. So go to the site, go to jayhawkslant.com right now to take advantage of it. We would love to have you as a subscriber. We know that there are a lot of people that listen to the podcast that haven't ever clicked on the website, haven't had a chance to get on the message boards and take full advantage of all the information and inside info that Shay and Kirby and I are putting out all the time. It's for the biggest and most hardcore KU fans, but it's also for people that are maybe just trying to learn a little bit more about the sports they love. It's a great deal for $12. Be sure to take advantage of it. It expires Thursday night at midnight. Now that we got the plug in, let me bring in my man, John Kirby. John, how you doing tonight, man?
Good, Randy. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm real good. Just kind of, you know, it's been a weird week with the snow we had, obviously waking up to snow on Monday morning, but you know, I'm just excited. I know you like me, we are both big high school football people. Playoffs in Missouri and Kansas are starting up this Friday. And it was, you know, I couldn't believe the news that we got today out of both Rockhurst and Lee Summit North, that both of those programs' seasons are going to be done because they had a positive, they had a kid turn up positive for COVID. I feel horrible for those kids.
Yeah, that's a tough deal. You know, we saw something, I think Rockhurst was maybe yesterday, and I was sitting there with my wife when that came about, and you know, the first thing I said was, God, I feel bad for that kid, because you know, Rockhurst was starting to come together. They were starting to play some football, and
they were.
You know, my wife's a nurse practitioner, and the first thing she said is, yeah, you know, she does feel bad for the kid, but she said, you know, there's probably other kids positive too on the team. You know, I mean, it's just no one doubt of those things that, you know, high school kids don't test all the time. Matter of fact, they don't test really at all unless there's a need to. So
exactly,
you know, you hate to see that, and you hate to, you know, I know you had Graham Mertz was in your guys' program from Wisconsin. I saw he had it too. And, you know, I guess his whole thing's coming back around or whatever. And hey, I try to focus on football, you know, and follow that. But you know, it seems like you can't turn anything on without hearing about COVID and something about the Johnson County Health Department recommended that maybe winter sports not be played to some of the Johnson County High School districts. So I guess we just kind of got to find a way to get through it.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy because I think a lot of us thought that. I was telling my wife earlier this week, I still remember when the stay-at-home orders began, and I think we were, you know, we were two and a half weeks into it, maybe three, and the way that I was getting through it was I would tell myself, hey, we're closer to the end of this now than we are the beginning. And I just, that was the only way I was able to maintain my sanity, and I can't believe, you know, here we are 6 months, 8 months later, and it's, you know, we're still seeing, You know, there were 1,000 people that died in the United States of COVID today. And it's just surging. You know, you mentioned Wisconsin here in Johnson County. I mean, it's just, it's crazy, and it's impacting, you know, like you say, we try to focus on football. We try to stay focused on that because it seems like the only way to kind of stay sane through all the craziness that's going on, but it's impacting football in such a significant way. I mean, the Titans, you know, they shut down their facility. The Tennessee Titans had to close down for nearly a week because they had an outbreak. The Patriots have had issues. The Raiders, the Chiefs, Jordan Te'amu, the practice squad quarterback, he had it, and everybody was freaked out that Mahomes might get sick. I mean, you can't avoid it. You really can't.
Hey, you mentioned snow earlier, right? To change a topic from COVID. Let me tell you what, my two teenage boys, they go out and they get out there and they, you know, my youngest, it just started driving here in the spring. So this was his first snow. So he comes back inside and he goes, "Hey, I've got snow on my car. It's a little icy. What do I do?" I go, "Come here, bub. Let me show you this." He goes, "What's that?" I go, "This is a scraper." He says, "Okay." So he goes outside and he starts scraping it off. And then he comes in, he goes, "Man, in the snow." I go, "Here, let me show you this." "What's this?" "Well, this is a brush." So he starts sweeping the snow off, comes back in. He's cold. I go, "Here, you might want some gloves too." So it was funny when you talked about the snow. It was his first time really getting snow off a car. And man, it was a learning experience. I said, "You know what? You probably want to keep that brush in your trunk, that scraper in your trunk, and probably some gloves."
No doubt. Hey, I've got to ask because I ran into this week. Has he ever changed a tire yet?
Oh, no. Heck no. No. Hey, for that, we'll call AAA.
There you go. I still remember when I was in high school, you know, at Shawnee Mission Northwest, we had driver's ed that you could take as a class, and then you'd get a break on your insurance. And we spent, you know, everybody had to, you know, you learned how to change a tire as part of the class. And I had to change a tire on, you know, I got up and go to get coffee Monday morning and rear tire on our car was flat. So I kind of, as you know, I just went ahead and started changing it there in the driveway, and I realized I hadn't changed a flat tire in 25 years.
Hey, remember?
I was like, man. And as soon as you started talking about your kid and lessons, I was like, you know what, Kirby, that's one you want to make sure the kid can do.
Remember driver's ed back when we had those? They were like those things you sat in.
The simulators, yeah, yes.
Those things, golly, those didn't teach you how to drive worth a damn.
No, they didn't. It was like sitting in a video game, except it wasn't very responsive at all.
Yeah, it wasn't at all.
Well, now that we've kind of covered literally all the problems of the world and talked about teaching kids to drive and changing tires, let's talk. You know, I know neither of us want to get into the KUK State game. And it was far from a thing of beauty, but what do you take from it, John?
Well, you just said we covered the world problems, but I don't think we've covered the special teams. That's world problems for the Jayhawks. No, it was bad. Hey, the special teams were bad, and you know I'm not being negative, Randy. It's not anything the coaches wouldn't tell you. You know, they were hamstrung a little bit. You know, you got Thompson that goes down, and Gagan goes down, and you know the best punt of the day comes from Jalen Daniels, right, where he does the quick kick down at the 5-yard line. So, you know, maybe they need to go back to that this week. But, you know, Randy, the thing that maybe bothered me the most is in the post game. And then I heard this outside of the media as well. You know, they did instruct the punters on some of those punts to kick the ball out of bounds. And, you know, they didn't do it. Now, I'm not. It's hard when you start blaming second team and especially a third string punter. You don't know how many reps he's getting. You don't know how many times he's directional kick the ball. But man, at some point when you're told to kick the ball out of bounds, you got to kick the ball out of bounds. I don't care if it's a 20-yard punt, a 25-yard punt, or whatever it is. But you know, because those ended up those were costly and they were really a big turning point in the game. So you know, when you talk about special teams, that's going to get built with the roster, and it's going to get built by recruiting high school kids. And I know people think that, hey, you know, Kids should be able to play special teams. Throw walk-ons on special teams. You know, it's not that easy. I can't tell you how many guys I've had coach special teams at the Division I level in my years of doing this say, people have no idea what it's like to be a gunner on the outside, run down the field, beat the guy who's trying to block you. And then when you get down there, somebody, of course, used this explanation to me once about Darren Sproles. And they said, so, you know, you're telling me this kid's a good enough athlete to beat the guy blocking him, get down the field, and then when Darren Sproles catches the ball, this guy's good enough to tackle Darren Sproles. Well, maybe it's not always Darren Sproles who's returning the football, but I don't think people understand you just can't go out with scrubs. And I'm not saying KU is doing that, but there's a lot of teams that play starters on special teams. The issue is, and you know, I didn't mean it like this, but in the postgame, I asked Ricky Thomas, because Ricky Thomas would be a perfect example of someone to put on special teams. Absolutely. And I asked him, I said, have you played special teams? He goes, nah, I think maybe a kickoff unit or two when I first got here. And I said, well, you know, isn't your game suited for special teams? He said, yeah, if they asked me to play special teams, I'd play it. But, you know, he's playing every snap on defense, okay, because there's not a lot of depth behind him. And you know what they can't do? They can't get Ricky Thomas hurt. And I probably asked the question, I wouldn't say out of frustration, but trying to prove a point. So, you know, when you look back at Kansas State, that's the one thing that you really sit there and say went wrong. You know, I thought the defense played well at times. I thought the offense started to show some flow. I thought Jalen Daniels started to look comfortable. So, you know, maybe that can continue forward. The defense keeps playing better. The young kids get better. Jalen Daniels starts getting the feel for what it's like to play Big 12 football, and this thing keeps developing.
You know, you wrote something on the message board, and I even texted you after I read it. You know, you and I have been working together for a long time now, and I was a member of the board long before I ever started with you, and I told you it was one of the best things you've ever posted. And the thing has gotten thousands of hits, and it was kind of like the state of the union for the Kansas football program midway through the season. And I think it's one of the best things you've ever written, and it was spot on.
Well, you know, hey, listen, opinions vary, right? I mean, I'm never right. Maybe every now and then I am. But, you know, Randy, over the time, I've gotten a chance to meet a lot of KU football, you know, guys that some are personal friends, some are neighbors, some are people I've known from growing up and things like that. And I think everybody always knows that, hey, Kirby always taught KU football, right? Well, you know, you're sitting there on Saturday night and Sunday, and, you know, I'm getting texts and phone calls, and people are saying, you know, what do you think they do with the program? I'm like, what do you mean, what do you think they do with the program? Well, do you think that there's a possibility that would they make a change? And I'm going, are you nuts? I mean, what do you mean a change? I mean, we're halfway through year two of a major rebuild, right? So, I mean, to even suggest that is somewhat ludicrous. You've got to see this thing out. I mean, Les Miles and these guys are recruiting high school athletes. They're trying to do it right. There is not going to be any panicking in this thing at all. They are focused on staying the course, and you just kind of have to tell people. Now, will there be changes with the staff? I don't know. But to make wholesale changes right now, as you've just gotten your program starting to settle in, you're going to have some growing pains with that. So I thought that was just a good time to go out and say, listen, you know, KU fans, this is where it's time you support the team. You got a lot of young kids playing. So, you know, I threw it out. It was what I was feeling Monday morning. And, yeah, it was pretty well received for the most part, I think.
Let's stay on the topic of this team and this year's where the program is at this point. I want you to, you know, kind of step back, look over the squad in every category, and just tell me, you know, what do you like, or what in your opinion, even better, what in your opinion should KU football fans be happy about right now?
Well, I just talked about, you know, the young players, and when you look throughout, there are a lot of areas that you really feel good. I mean, the secondary, defensively up front, quarterback, running backs, wide receivers, you know, special teams is hard to judge right now because they're trying to build depth and they're trying to get kids that they can bring in there. And I think you'll probably see some younger kids get chances on special teams. So I see some things, Randy, that KU fans should be very happy about what the future brings. I mean, there are some positions now. KU is going to be really good. I mean, they're going to be really good with some of this talent they have. The other thing I like, and I know this is always a hard thing to judge, because when you get your butts kicked, people say, oh, they quit, or those kids aren't giving good effort. I've gone back, as hard as it is sometimes, and rewatch games. Sometimes about third quarter, I just shut it off because you know what's going to happen. But what I'll do a lot of times, I'll go through the third and the fourth quarter, maybe not as much the first half. These kids do play hard. I mean, they play hard and they play with effort. They're just behind. You know, I heard tonight, I heard Jeff Long on Hawk Talk. And, you know, he talked about kids who are 17, 18, that are brand new to a program. Miles has played 15 of the 18 newcomers already. How far they are behind compared to somebody like an Iowa State who has a program in place. Those guys, they're freshmen. If they're really good, they play. If not, they redshirt. The next year, they might get in the games a little bit. The next year after that, they start contributing. And when you're 17, 18, you know, redshirt, you know, freshmen, sophomores, and you're out playing against redshirt juniors and seniors from other program, you're behind. So I think Kansas fans should look at what is being built. Don't always look at the end result. Don't always look at getting hammered, but look at each position and each position group and see where things can grow from where they are now. And I think you would have a different perspective on it.
Okay, let's kind of go to the other side of the coin on this one. What do you see that gives you concern or that you think KU fans should be worried about right now?
Well, hey, before I answer that, I want to go back and I want to say something about what you should be happy about, because there's been this big focus on young kids, right? I mean, there's all you're hearing, you know, you heard it on Hawk Talk tonight. You're hearing a lot about, you know, the young kids. And I get it. I think that's to build perception that things are, you know, looking good in the future, which I do believe they are. But you've also got guys like Sam Burt and Chris Hughes, guys who have been in the program, who are leaders, who have to help set some type of a foundation. So when you ask me about what do I like or what can you be happy about, I wanted to make sure and give guys like that a shout out. What I don't like or what I'm not happy about, I'm in the offensive line. It's just, I don't know. I'm not smart enough. If I was, they'd probably pay me about a half mil to go in and figure it out. But I just don't know what it is, and I can't put my finger on it, because I've talked to old football coaches over the last couple of weeks. I've talked to guys who follow KU for a long time. I've seen lines that I don't know if they're any more talented than what KU's got now come together and form units to where they move the football. Now they might not have been an offensive juggernaut, but they were good enough to find ways to move the ball, and they'd get a helmet on a helmet. And at 2006, that O-line wasn't anything special, and they produced the Big 12's leading rusher in John Cornish. So, you know, that O-line's got to get figured out, and that's the one worry spot, Randy, because going forward, you say, okay, how many young guys are in the program that can step in and do that? Well, right now, it doesn't look like a lot, or they'd be playing. So the question becomes, can they do it next year? Are they going to be physically ready to go next year, having never really played many snaps? So that's a concern. And the other one that just, you know, another one that's been bothering me is linebacker a little bit. You know, Drew Prox got sick, and then, you know, Drew Prox has been injured. And, you know, when Prox is out, it changes the complexion of that linebacker group. It really does. I thought Kansas State beat them up in the open field. They got some matchups on Feaster and Dineen. And you know, in the open field, some of the linebackers struggle a little bit. So that's one of those spots where I'm kind of looking for these young guys. Tywan Berryhill, Alonzo Person. You know, they got some guys that are in that young group. I'm looking to see if maybe they can get in and start getting. Krishan Brown's another one. If they can get in and start playing. So, you know, the two that I kind of got the red check marks by right now, I'd like to just see a little more of the linebackers and the offensive line.
Kirby, let's start to look at this Iowa State matchup. You know, the Cyclones are coming to Lawrence, and we're going to bring in Bill Seals, who covers ISU for the Rivals Network, and get his perspective, you know, kind of go behind enemy lines and find out what is up with the Clones this year.
Our first guest is Bill Seals from the Cyclone Report. He covers the Cyclones for the Rivals.com network. Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, John.
You bet. Hey, Bill, we're starting to see some snow melt here on the ground. You're not too far from us up to the north. What's the weather been like there?
Well, I tell you, more snow than we like to see in the month of October, that's for sure. But we've had a nice little run here. This week it's melted away, and we're supposed to be in the 50s over the weekend. So I'm thinking, you know, a little Iowa State, Kansas football and a little yard work for this weekend. So,
yeah. Hey, well, that sounds more like October to me. So,
yeah,
Bill, let's start with the offense. You know, I know everybody talks about Brock Purdy, and around here, you know, the name Breece Hall gets mentioned a lot. He's a Wichita kid and recruited by Nathan Schilhouse, who I had a chance to watch play his high school football at Rockhurst, and he does a great job recruiting the area. Tell me about the offense, about Iowa State. Who are the guys? We know Purdy. We know, you know, everybody they've got in the backfield with Hall. Tell me what they do offensively. What do they want to do, and who are some of the guys we need to look at?
Well, it's a different Iowa State offense, I think. I think they're probably running a lot of the same stuff, but it's just more of a focused on the ground game, I think, this year than what we've seen before. And I think it's been maybe somewhat out of necessity. Obviously, Breece Hall doing what he's done has made it easy to kind of go that direction. But you look at who Brock Purdy's got around him. Yes, he's got Charlie Kolar back. They've got the three tight ends that they like to use a lot. Those guys get a lot of acclaim. But there's been a lot of turnover at the wide receiver position. The two wide receivers, Deshante Jones, they lost. LaMichael Petway, he's gone. He was a grad transfer senior last year. And then the one senior they had coming, or the one veteran they had coming back who was a starter, Tariq Milton, he's likely out for the year. Word is a broken collarbone on him. So you've had a complete turnover at that position in one season. And also the offensive line, you had a couple of injuries there so far to starters that they've had to do some shuffling. So really, I tell you what, Breece Hall is making this offense click right now, and it's been great timing for him to do that with just so many weapons in and out of the lineup for Brock Purdy and the offensive line. He faced a lot of pressure, Brock did, against Oklahoma State. So I'd anticipate more of the same in the future. I think they try to get after Purdy a lot, you know, with the shuffling along the offensive line.
So if we move over to defense, I know the defensive coordinator, Heacock, he was one of the first guy in the Big 12 to bring that three-man front, and they were dropping eight and just keeping everything in front of them. Is that what they're still doing? And talk about who the guys are to watch on the defensive side and how have they been playing?
They are. They're still running that 3-3-5 stack. Got a lot of acclaim, I think. Even Clemson came calling an off season or two to kind of get the intricacies of running that defense. And it starts up front. Jaquan Bailey, Will McDonald, those are the two guys that the defensive ends rate as high as anybody on the defensive side of the ball as far as the PFF grades go. Inside, they've had some turnover there. They did get Latrell Bankston, a JUCO transfer out of the Kansas JUCO ranks. He's up there, and also Isaiah Lee, Josh Bailey, a couple others inside there. But Iowa State, I think, just as strong inside and up front this year. The linebacking core, two of the three starters back, Marcel Spears, a name I'm sure very familiar down there in the KC area. He graduated last year, but they plugged in Jake Hummel there, who's a senior this year. but has played in a reserve role and had a lot of snaps coming into this year. So you've got Mike Rose back. You've got Orion Vance back. So a veteran crew there at linebacker, and all three of those guys can cover in space too, which really makes that that 3-3-5 alignment click. And then in the secondary, as I mentioned in our piece that's going to come out on Jayhawk Slant this week, Greg Eisworth, one of those deep safeties, really is kind of the quarterback of that secondary. And they've got a veteran crew back there as well. Lawrence White is someone who's played a lot of snaps. Aishim Young, who one of the four-star addition a few years ago, one of the highest graded, the highest ranked recruits in the Matt Campbell era. He's in there as a redshirt freshman this year as a safety and can really be that physical presence as a safety that you like, as well as being able to cover. And then Anthony Johnson, I'm not sure how much of you watched the Iowa State game against Oklahoma State, but Anthony Johnson did a pretty darn good job against Tylan Wallace, and is somebody who has shown he can play on an island, and when you can get that, that defense even more effective.
Bill, usually when we do our podcasts and preview the upcoming game, I have to be honest with you, I usually skip special teams when I'm talking to guys. But after Kansas' performance last week against Kansas State on special teams, I've got to throw this one in. I mean, how has Iowa State special teams played?
Well, you know what? I started bringing this up on our site last week. I do a lot with the PFF, the Pro Football Focus, the grades and stuff.
Absolutely.
The subscribers eat that info up. And I started hyping the Iowa State special teams ranking or grading out in the top 10 nationally going into last week's game. And after the Louisiana game, that was a loss to start the year. The special teams were not so special. But it just shows you how well that unit had really kind of turned the page on that and performed in those three conference victories. And then last weekend, Iowa State goes out, missed two field goals. Connor Asali, a pretty dependable kicker, really inside of 40 yards. He's as good as they get and as steady as they get. And he missed two field goals last week. They lose by three on the road at number six, Oklahoma State. So they weren't real special last weekend. So we'll see what we get this Saturday out of the Iowa State special teams. But I will say punting wise, Joe Rivera's been very, very steady. Their kickoff man, Eddie Ogamba, he's been out with an injury. So that's the kickoff game right now is kind of a toss-up. They even did one of those rugby-style drop kicks against the Cowboys last Saturday. So we'll see how that goes. But don't do a whole lot through the punt return game. Tariq Milton was the guy who handled that. He's out with injury, and now they're pretty well content just to fair catch it. But kickoff returns is going to be something you guys want to keep an eye on, because Kenne Nwangu, he's the senior, the veteran there, averaging, I believe, nearly 30 yards per kickoff return, and is always a threat to bring one back, one of the fastest players on the team. So he can really make that unit pretty special.
Well, after last week, the Kansas special teams wasn't special either against Kansas State. So I'm sure when they ever kick off to him, the fans will be on the edge of their seat. So Bill, I'm going to move it into the closing here. Give me your breakdown on this game. Give me how do you see this matchup, and maybe a prediction if you got one?
Yeah, Iowa State's done a pretty good job this year of shutting down opposing running backs. Obviously last week, Chuba Hubbard was the one exception. He did have a nice day, but this is a run defense from Iowa State before that had held every running back from every team they played to under, I believe it was 52 yards. No opposing running back had gone for more than that in the game. So I anticipate that the defense making that a focus against the Kansas tandem that they've got there, stepping in, done a pretty nice job. I think Belton Gardner the leader of that unit with Puka stepping out. So I think they put a focus on taking them out of the game, and that leaves Jalen Daniels, the elusive, the dual threat quarterback. He's someone I think that Iowa State's got to account for in the run game. Spencer Sanders had 15 carries for 71 yards from the quarterback position last week. So this is an aspect that the Iowa State defense, they've given up some yards on the ground to opposing quarterbacks. So that's where Daniels can be a weapon. I think offensively, Breece Hall show continues again this week, and maybe Iowa State kind of starts to find itself a little more in the passing game as some wide receivers get a little more comfortable. As I had mentioned in the piece, going to be on Jayhawk Slant, I've got Iowa State 41 and Kansas 14 this Saturday.
Well, Bill, I hope you get that yard work done this week, and if the score ends up that way, you'll probably yard work will come a little easier.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Well, Bill, thank you very much for joining us, and we'll definitely talk to you soon.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you having me.
Kirby, Les Miles basically told us that Jalen Daniels should be the guy at quarterback for the rest of the season and maybe the foreseeable future for this program on Monday. But he wasn't 100% solid in saying that. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? And maybe the little bit of wavering there is that something that people should be concerned about?
No, I think that's Les Miles being Les Miles. He's going to give you some gamesmanship, and I have learned that, and that's what it's going to be, and that's okay. That's okay. We just got to get used to it and try to figure out, you know, what he's talking about. And sometimes he's not going to want us to know what he's talking about. Tonight, Brian Haney at the end of Hawk Talk asked Les. He said, "Hey, coach, can you give us a couple other injury updates or something like that?" I can't remember who he asked about, and Les Miles goes, "No." He goes, "I'm not going to give injury updates on the radio here on my talk show. On the Hawk Talk show, I'm going to keep that down." So I thought that was interesting, but no way. Jalen Daniels is their guy as long as he's healthy. Randy, I'll be honest with you. I don't think he was 100% healthy last week, but I think the kid's tough and figured out a way to come back and maybe play before they thought he would. So my money's on Jalen Daniels as long as he's healthy.
Let's break down this matchup with Iowa State. Tell me what you think of this one with the Clones and give me the score.
Well, you know, I don't like the matchup. I'm starting to sound like a broken record, right? Because every time you come in, you say that. Now, that's not the way I said it last week against Kansas State, and I don't think it played out like that. In terms of helmet on helmet, player on player, Kansas and Kansas State was a lot closer than that score said. Okay, that being said, Iowa State reminds me of a little bit of Kansas State. But Iowa State's better offensively, okay? I mean, Breece Hall is the real deal.
Breece Hall's Purdy, a bad man.
Yes, he is. And Brock Purdy is solid. And the thing that scares me about Purdy is him getting in open field on plays breaking down and him scrambling. And he is a bad matchup for the KU linebackers who sometimes are slow reacting and maybe don't have the athleticism to track him down in the open field. So, you know, the offensive line from Iowa State, as we just heard from Bill, is a little bit banged up. Iowa State defensively, they were the first ones to come to bring to the conference that three-man front that we just talked about. They're going to make KU earn every yard, okay? They're going to be tough, and, you know, Jalen Daniels is going to have to be patient. They are not going to give up the big play. You know, also, I don't like hearing the fact that Iowa State special teams, for the most part, has been really good, and Iowa State's the better team. You know, what you hope, again, you hope Kansas comes out, continues to build on some of the signs that we've been seeing, especially from the young guys, and they continue that trend up. But I just don't – listen, last year in Ames, I didn't think they were going to be in that game, and they almost won the thing in Ames, right? Well, Kansas isn't moving the football like they did then, and Iowa State still brings back a lot of players, and they're just the better team. They had a tough loss in Stillwater last week. I think they're going to come to Lawrence to play. I say Iowa State 35, Kansas 14, and now we get your take.
I am going to go, I'm feeling 41-10.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've been hard on the Jayhawks. You've been tough on the Jayhawks.
You know, and I believe me, I choke on those words every time I throw them out there. I don't want to pick this program to lose, but the situation is what it is.
Oh, I mean, to lose. You're just picking them to lose worse.
That's a good point. But it's like you and I have talked about, and you said in the piece that you posted on the board. I'll go back to that again. This is the process. People may not have realized that things were at the depths that they are now, but this is what we have to go through. And we're starting to see young players, you know, a lot of people were talking on the board about the clip that KU tweeted out of Daryl Stuckey and Brandon McAnderson watching some of the young players and breaking down film and talking about Dejon Terry and Harris and some of the guys on that defensive line. I mean, they have some very good young football players that they can build around that are young and inexperienced. And, you know, you said something about Iowa. If they were at a place like Iowa, they wouldn't be seeing the field for maybe their first 2 years on campus. Whereas here, they've got to play. And so they've got to learn about college football. It's baptism by fire, and it's ugly, and it's no fun for the fans, and it's, you know, makes our job a little tougher sometimes. But I think I'm looking 41-10 for Saturday. So let's move into recruiting now, Kirby. Talk about some things, some positives, really. As this program continues to pick up commitments, you know, we're going to be joined on the studio line here in just a minute by Jason Gilliam, who is a young man from SEC country that gave the Jayhawks a verbal commitment on Monday.
I am joined by Jason Gilliam from North Gwinnett in Georgia, who is the latest commitment to the Kansas football program. Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us on the Inside Slant podcast. And, you know, you just gave the Jayhawks your verbal commitment. So tell me about the decision and where you said, hey, I want to be a Jayhawk.
You know, it was the best fit for me, just playing under a great coach like Les Miles. And my parents really like Coach Peterson and Les Miles. And it was just a great fit for me. So that's why I made the decision.
You know, I know you and I spoke last week, and you talked about Coach Peterson, and I think you maybe mentioned Chevis Jackson a little bit, but just tell me about the relationship you had with the coaching staff, and what did they tell you about the Kansas program?
Oh, they said some really good stuff to me about the program. I was talking to Coach Jackson earlier this spring, and I started talking to Coach Peterson more. And they're just really excited to bring in a new culture of Kansas football and start building it from the ground up. And I'm really excited to be a part of that.
Jason, when you know, a lot of people think because you just committed, it's like the Kansas coaches just started recruiting you, but that's really not true. I mean, they started building this seed back with you back in the spring, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, when it was, you,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, they started talking to me back in the spring and just playing that seed, like you said, early. They've been recruiting me off and on this whole spring and this whole year. So it wasn't like a decision where I made like on the spot. I had some connections and some background to it.
So tell me about the scene when you call the coaches, tell them you're going to commit, just break that, what that was down, you know, break it down, what it was like telling them that you wanted to be a Jayhawk.
Oh, I was super excited. I was smiling from ear to ear. My parents were there. They were happy. They were in Coach Peterson and Coach Les Miles. They were ecstatic. It was a great feeling just to become a part of the family and bring in this new culture.
So at 6'2", 190, you know, you play corner and you do that well on film. I've watched you. You can turn your hips and run. But I'm curious, where do you see yourself down the road playing at Kansas? What kind of position?
Oh, right now they're recruiting me as a safety. They like the way I can cover, obviously, since I play corner. So they like my cover ability, but they also like my size, for me to come up and fill the hole at safety. So, but I feel like I'm a very versatile player. I could play corner. I could play safety. I could play wherever they want me to play.
Okay, you're close friends with Trey Staley, who's from Georgia, and he gave a commitment earlier in the year to Kansas. How was his influence with you, and what did he tell you about Kansas?
Oh, me and Trey have been talking about Kansas for a while now. Once I told him that they offered me, he was so excited. He was trying to get me to flip even when they haven't offered me yet. So it was a great Trey's one of my best friends. So I'm super excited to go to Kansas with him.
What does it feel like for you right now? What's going through your mind? You've made a commitment to a Big 12 school. You know, hopefully the recruiting's done and it's out of the way. Just what's going through your mind?
Oh, I'm super excited right now. I'm ready to get up there. January can't come soon enough. I'm just super excited to become a part of this family.
And then last question for you. You and I talked about the possibility of graduating early. Just tell me about those plans and how can that help you get your career started fast at Kansas?
Yes, sir. I'll be graduating early, and I'll be enrolling in January, February. So at Kansas, I'm just trying to come in early, just become part of that program, get inside the weight room, learn the defense early, and possibly play in the spring. So I'm really excited about that.
That is Jason Gilliam. He is the latest commitment to the Kansas football program. Jason, I really appreciate you joining us, and I know you and I are definitely going to talk again. Thank you very much, and congratulations on your commitment.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
John, as we get ready to wrap this thing up, I'm going to let you roll on with recruiting and talk a little bit about your thoughts on Gilliam. And I know you like what other recruiting I know you like him a lot, excuse me. And I want to get your thoughts on him as a player. And also, is there any other recruiting news that maybe we should be aware of with this program?
Yeah, Randy, and I've posted this on the board. I like Gilliam a lot. I think he is, at 6'2", 190 pounds, if you go watch him, I mean, he's good enough that a lot of schools were looking at him as a corner, okay? Kansas is thinking safety. Me, personally, I'm thinking Hawk. You take a kid like that who doesn't shy away from physical contact, who's a good tackler, who's got tremendous ball skills. He may be closer to a corner than a safety right now. But also his body, you know, he gets up to 200, 205. I think he can play that hybrid that they use in DJ Elliott's system. You know, he can run around. He can be in pass pro. He can come up and play the run. I think it's a good pickup. You know, somebody was telling me the other day, they said, oh, you know, you guys haven't rated 2 stars. And Randy, you know, the stars and the ratings are fun. It's not an exact science. Everybody exactly. Tries to do the best they can. I tell everybody all the time, if recruiting was a science, they wouldn't fire 15 coaches every year across the country, okay? And if look at KU, Harris, Marcus Harris, 2 stars. Cabledew, who we hear a lot about, 2 stars. I think Hyshaw was 2 stars, if I remember correctly. Caron Pruntney, 2 stars, okay?
Tayshaun Terry, 2 stars.
Did Terry get to 2 or did they bump him to 3? I can't remember. Jalen Daniels, 2 stars.
Perfect example.
So my point is, look at the players who everybody's excited about in the young groups right now. They're 2-star players. Now, that doesn't mean you want to go out and load up on a bunch of 2-star players, but it shows that you can evaluate. It shows you know what you're looking for, and some of those kids have come in and performed and look like they might have good futures. So I like Gilliam. One of the things I wanted to talk about in recruiting isn't about a specific person. It's about, and I posted this on the board as well, it's about some rumblings of the fact that, you know, there's some talk in the NCAA that they may come in due to COVID and tell programs, It's open game to get to 85. Now, that doesn't count the kids who are going to be super seniors that will come next year on the seniors who are asked to come back. Okay, they don't count. So that what that would mean is, let's say Kansas is at 79. That means they get six free players to go after if they want to do it. Let's say two or three kids are in the portal, because I know the coaches are going to look at the portal and they're going to keep their eyes open for a good fit, for the right fit.
They have to.
So that would allow them to use a spot or two on that. Or what happens if they stumbled on a couple late bloomers, a couple high school kids that came off late or developed late? You can go do that. So this will be something to keep an eye on. And boy, if you talk about a program, if this thing passes that it could help, it's KU for sure. I just talked to Jarrell Boykins the other night. Kansas is definitely on his list. You know, he's got some pretty good other SEC schools that are there with him. Mandela Tobin, talked to him out of California. A little different tone coming there. He made a comment to me. He'd like to see, you know, the success on the field pick up a little bit. You know, KU is definitely still one of his top schools. But when they say that, you know, it kind of puts a little bug in your ear that, you know, you got to watch this here, because is he looking to go somewhere where he's going, I want to go to bowl games right away or something like that? How important is that to a kid? So I thought it was interesting that he mentioned that. Also wrote a story, very interesting prospect, Cooper Roy out of Springfield, is third in the nation in high school in sacks. KU was the first one to offer him. So that, you know, that tells you the recruiting staff is working during the day. You know, when the coaches are back there putting together game plans and meeting about Iowa State, the recruiting guys are back there and they're busting through film. They're going through databases. So they were the first to offer him, and they will not be the last. So, but the kid said it meant a lot to get an offer from them. Ahmed Hassanin, who is a defensive end from California, I wrote on him recently. Mm-hmm. Did you read that story?
I did.
Yeah, I mean, the kid lives in America. He goes to Egypt. He's got a big brother here that he leaves. He doesn't talk to him for 10 years. He goes over there. He gets into CrossFit, swimming, weightlifting. You know, the kid's like a freak athlete.
I was going to say, clearly he is an athlete.
Yeah, well, his brother played semi-pro football, and they were over in Austria. About this time, Ahmed wanted to get out of the house, and he was going to go to a military school. Well, his brother was in Austria. He says, why don't you come back and live with me at California? So he brings him. They bring him back. He lives with his brother. His brother's a football coach at the high school where he also played growing up. And the kid just develops into something. He told me, he said, they put me at wide receiver and that didn't work out. I said, why? He goes, I couldn't catch. I said, that'd be a problem. He said,
yeah,
when he first started tackling,
yeah,
when he first started tackling guys, he said, he'd just reach out and grab him by the face mask. And then they told him they couldn't do that. So he goes, so I just started picking guys up and slamming them. I'm like, that'll work.
That's fine.
They don't flag you for that.
That sounds good.
But he's a boy. This guy, 3 years ago, he said he couldn't speak English, and he spoke great English. So, you know, Chidera Uzo-Deribe has been on him. He's one to watch. Now he's this year's class. Now I don't know how many spots they're planning on. I don't know if they're aware. I'm sure they are of the possibility of getting more spots, and they're just trying to keep guys on the board. But he's one. And again, I'm going to go back to the transfer portal. I think this is the year they're not going to get off course, Randy. They're not going to say, let's dump the high school philosophy. Let's go transfer portal, JUCOs. They're not going to do that. What they're going to do is they're going to keep the course, and they're going to look for one or two guys in that transfer portal in addition to what they're putting in place. They're going to look for guys who can come in and help them out right away, guys who are maybe played some football somewhere else, strong enough, developed, while they're able to groom and coach up some of these younger linemen that are coming in the program. So that's kind of what I've been working on over the last week. You know, we've talked about this several times. There's not a lot of work to do in the 2021 class, so I've been starting to pick up on some 2022 guys. But, you know, these guys are grinding, and I've talked a lot about their inside recruiting staff, and these guys spend a lot of time on recruiting. So, you know, they're going to have to keep going there.
Kirby, that is a heck of an update, just a ton going on, and that's going to do it for this edition of the Inside Slam podcast. Like John said, be sure and take advantage of the best promo that we have ever had for Jayhawkslant.com. $12 for a full year, and that expires midnight on Thursday night. So be sure, go to the site. If you're one of the hundreds, maybe thousands of people that listen to this podcast and have never subscribed, there is no better time than now. With men's basketball season getting ready to kick off, Shea Wildebor will have all the news from the recruiting trail as well as coming from the field house, everything happening with the football program and recruiting. And as the world turns with the impact of COVID having on both sports, both Shea and Kirby are going to have all the news. There's no better place for Kansas fans to go to get their information than Jayhawkslant.com. Be sure and take advantage of that $12 promo. For my man, John Kirby, I'm your host, Randy Withers. We will talk to you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.